always a pleasure to welcome back Bob Hoy, Institutional Advisors, Editor-in-Chief Investment Strategist, institutionaladvisors, all one word, .com. Welcome back, Bob.
Hi there, Chris. It's good to be with you.
You know, I received that email from you on one of our favorite topics, and our listeners as well. Cryptocurrencies are just red hot lately. We see the potential for much higher prices, but also this is getting a bit frothy. Tell us what you see.
Well, going back a few months ago, we laid out the action in the Bitcoin and also laid out the action in gold, for example, on the blow-off up to 1980. Oh, the Nikkei, the 89, you know. So these great big blow-offs have a character. And all you could do is change the name of the item that's being speculated in. But as I've often said, that speculation is fungible. That kind of speculation you can apply to anything. So we had, remember it counts like, as it based, and then as it started to come out of the saucer bottom, we had the correction from 0.20 to 21, and then later on you had 0.23 to 24. And then on that one is then the next phase would be straight up. And that could not be determined how high up or how long the straight up would last, but it could be ending action. Well, it jumped to that. That also, on my colleague's work, registered a monthly upside exhaustion. So, hey, that's really getting it done. We didn't know that it would do that far. So anyways, it's had some gyrations, corrections, setbacks. There's more to it. The cyber currencies, I think the phenomenon of coming up with a currency, and I do believe the public, not the economists, the public will demand a currency that the governments can. But what you have here with the crypto stuff is it became a speculative bubble. Now, we are in a world of speculative bubbles. You've got junk bonds are still going. The EMB emerging bonds are still strong. The high-grade sector, longer treasuries, have been correcting for a year. The one-way market in Europe, which effectively got German yields down to zero, that's been correcting. But we can call it all one immense financial bubble. So it's of interest to see one do what could be a completed blow-off, i.e. the crypto stuff. And that it compares quite closely to the crude oil in gold on the blow off to January 1980. And so we've had the correction and we had the rebound to a point similar to when gold's rebound got up to something like 700 from the 850 level. So that's the way we're going to look at it, Chris, just strictly as a price series that has experienced the big blow-off, and it's similar to those in the past. It's had the correction, and it's bounced up to, I don't know, let's call it a right-hand shoulder. And then from there, it's going to be interesting. I think a lot of it's going to depend not on the uniqueness of the cryptocurrencies, but on the overall bubble, getting exceptional technical readings out of the stock market through the summer. You've got sentiment numbers have reached levels seen only like in 2000 and 2007. And then there's a valuation model that I like. Ron Gries at the chart store does it, and it is the S&P against the Bureau of Labor Statistics annual or the average wage. So in effect, what it is the number of hours of work it takes to purchase a unit of S&P. And it is now higher than reached in 2000, which was an insane evaluation. So, and this one I like because within the stock market, of course, there's all the individual stocks. And the important ones, of course, all have their share analysts checking them out. It's easy to say, hey, let's make this stock look cheaper. The customers want to buy it, so here we're going to crank on a 15% earnings. So where the PE can be based upon trailing earnings, which is exceptionally high, or if you do on it on forecast earnings, you can make it look not so high. But if you're doing against wages, now can you see wages in the next year going up 20%? No, I don't think so. So you've got dynamics, you've got sentiment, and you have valuations as being exceptional. So what we're looking for is how do you get out of this exceptional condition, usually not gently. And there's a couple of items missing in the recipe for a top in here. One is the yield curve, which is the difference between long-dated and short-dated treasuries. And it's still in the positive mode. It hasn't changed yet. But at about 14 months of flattening going on, it's getting into the time range when a change would be possible sometime in a month or so. We use this as a guide in 2000 and in 2007. The other one is, of course, the credit spreads, which is the difference between high-grade and low-grade bonds. And it started to turn from being very positive for the stock market. It started to turn in July. And it was working on what we call the second breakout, which was important to widening. And there was no dynamics there. So it's backed off and it's no longer a warning. So you've got these two items in the credit markets that when they turn towards a negative, that then would undermine a very pricey stock market. But at the moment, they're still going. So, and it's like with the other one that's been resilient has been the advanced decline line. It continues positive. So we have the stock market at exceptional levels. The credit markets are not yet negative. So if there's something comes along to change the credit market, then the stock market then becomes vulnerable. We can call it precarious, and we can call it still up for a while yet, but it is a very dangerous market out there.
A lot of dangerous markets. It's interesting you'd say that, as we had recently Key Guest. He'd never seen so many anomalies in so many markets at one time, and that it really has the fingerprints or the hallmark of intervention. And our top insiders in the industry have reported that we should expect this market to surprise people on the upside, mostly because the institutions, while bad-mouthing and trying to regulate Bitcoin in particular, are under the table accumulating like mad. Yeah, anyone who just reads the headlines will see that our friend at JP Morgan bad-mouthing, as I just said, Bitcoin, while then we find out a few days later that his company is accumulating it at a rapid clip. I'd like to add the proviso that we are expecting, and it may not come to pass. I mean, we could run to 10,000, but we think we could see a correction as low as, let's say, a 50% haircut, somewhere between 1,900 and 2,600 before the next advance to 5,000 and on to 10,000. It really fits, I think, right along with your idea, although I think I get the impression you think this is the ultimate peak.
Yeah, let's say the ultimate maybe for a year or so. Should we head towards some kind of a currency that is sorely needed, who knows what's going to happen, but the ideal one will be a cryptocurrency that is relatively stable, such as you had when Great Britain, as the senior economy, was on a gold standard through the 1800s, with a remarkable advance in productivity and economic expansion and everything, because you had an attempt to make a relatively constant senior currency. Of course, over time, the purchasing power of a gold-backed currency does change. Like at the top of a stock boom, gold-backed U.S. dollars are back to sterling. It wouldn't buy that much of the stock market. And then at the bottom of the stock market, you can buy a lot more. But nonetheless, the world really needs an unmanipulated currency such as was the senior currency when it was convertible into a fixed amount of gold. That's the happiest thing you can do. That, by happy, I mean it was the closest to perfection that you can get. And I do believe that somehow in the cryptocurrencies, they will end up with the best possible currency you can get that is unassailable by governments with interventionist economics. I mean, these guys, the audacity of them is amazing. They think that they can manage a national economy. And as we pointed out often, there is no such thing as a national economy. Just take a look at the concept of Canada as a national economy, sitting right all along a 4,000-mile-long border with the most dynamic economy in the world. It's an absurd notion. So I think a lot of this is eventually going to get washed out when the public is taking over its government again. It's a tough battle. It will continue to be a tough battle, but the public will win. I call it we're being on a great reformation, such as began in the early 1600s. And it will also, as part of this, have what it defines as money, which used to be gold, and it'll probably be gold-related in the future when it comes along. So, Chris, we live in very exciting times, and I'm very pleased to be vertical and cognizant of watching what's going on. And it's always fun to share these concepts with you because you have a very good point of view as well.
We appreciate the fact that we have the opportunity for the institutional advisor's tutelage here, perspective that a solid historical background and understanding. I'd echo your sentiments that we are on the cusp of a revolution. While that sounds neat and people get excited, along with that opportunity will come great strife. And we're starting to see that because their system, the powers that be, that you've alluded to, is unraveling. I mean, the seeds of its own destruction, I think you'd agree, were planted back in 1913, when, where you might recall, the pound sterling was the reserve currency. And by 1914, that country was embroiled in a bitter conflict, which we were drawn into in 1917. And then fast forward two world wars later, and by 1945, the U.S., a tiny little insignificant nation, suddenly became the reserve currency and a global superpower. Now, no longer necessarily going to remain the case. Will it unravel over a 30-year period, as it did with where, you know, the sun never set? Or will this unravel in 3 to 5 years? And I suspect that the crypto revolution is just something that our policymakers, Bob, are only waking up to. I have a little laptop here that my wife gave me in 2010, and I started mining this silly little thing called bitcoins. It just come about in 2009, and so I started mining them, have the little wallet. The wallet's still there, but the laptop, because it was ancient, I mean, it fell apart, the screen broke, the battery died, and the system crashed. Well, yesterday I spent about 4 hours. I got the system back up, an alternative screen, and finally got in and found my wallet.dat from an original Bitcoin QT wallet. Now, the question is, what's in there? Because it's encrypted. So now I've got to find a way to break that encryption. When I was mining back then, you were lucky to get 50 cents a Bitcoin. It had just skyrocketed. Hold on to your hat. From 1 cent to 8 cents, 8 cents to 50 cents, 50 cents to a dollar. Now, hold on, 2011, right at that $1 point, it had a bubble, its first bubble, to $31.50. As bullish as I am, and I do think we're going to have 5 and 10 and 50 and 100,000, now I'm hearing numbers of 500,000. But I want people to keep in mind, let's not push all the chips in.
Well, you know, on this reformation that's underway. About 4 years ago, I gave a few speeches to some high-up forums, and one of them was revolution without intellectuals. And in the past, the revolutions that you had in France in the late 1700s, it was popular dissatisfaction, and then the intellectuals got a hold of it, and it turned into a bloodbath. Control freaks. So then later on in 1917 with the Russian Revolution, same thing, popular dissatisfaction, and then a very aggressive group of intellectuals got control of the apparatus of government. And the important thing is to take a look at in England's experience with what was called at the time the Glorious Revolution of 1688, where there was popular dissatisfaction and the merchants in London and smallholders outside, ordinary people, were dissatisfied with an authoritarian government, and the uprising was successful, and the King James, he went to France, got to live in an authoritarian country. The model is the Glorious Revolution in England, whereby a popular uprising remained in the hands of ordinary people plus business people and was very successful, and I think the same thing can happen here.
You know, hat tip for the historical perspective. It's just such a wonderful resource to have Total Recall. There's that risk that we could lose the amazing gains we've had here. China recently outlawed ICOs, as did South Korea, but Hong Kong is now seizing the opportunity, as they so often have done, the crypto alternative to China and South Korea. You see, this genie is not going back in the bottle. It cannot be contained.
The other part of a reformation movement is the struggle that's going on now in Spain with Catalan people wanting to get free of the central government. This is classic stuff. The central government was trying to prevent a referendum.
Bob Hoy, I have to apologize. I have to run.
Yep, good to be with you.
With stocks hitting new highs, the next sector to fly could be the precious metals. GoldSeek's top industry analyst just uncovered another solid gold opportunity, Silvercorp Metals. Silvercorp's key property is located in China, the largest gold producer in the world. Silvercorp's net income is soaring, up 589%. Production eclipsed guidance by 27.5%. totaling 6.5 million ounces. Mining operations are literally printing silver at only $3.82 per ounce. AISC net byproducts credits for the fiscal year 2017. Sales increased 51% year over year, and cash flow from operations more than doubled to $80 million. Silvercorp continues to set the industry standard with reduced costs, equity appreciation, a solid dividend, and improved free cash flow. Silvercorp is uniquely positioned to capitalize on rising silver, lead, and zinc prices. To learn more about the exceptional opportunity in Silvercorp Inc., direct your web browser to silvercorpmetals.com, ticker symbol SVM in the U.S. and Canada. Remember to treat your portfolio with a core position in Silvercorp Metals.
GoldSeek employees may or may not own shares. Nothing contained herein should be construed as investment advice.